This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. On this week's program, we'll hear from Congressman Joe Pitts of Pennsylvania, as well as FRC's own Ken Klukowski about the Supreme Court's decisions regarding the Defense of Marriage Act and California's Proposition 8. And you may be surprised by what you hear. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins as he gets us started.
Ken, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
All right, let's start. Two decisions handed down. Let's get a quick overview. One dealing with the Federal Defense of Marriage Act and the other with Prop 8 out of California.
Well, that's right. With the Prop 8 out of California, there's been a lot of misreporting on what's going on with that. Media accounts are saying that Prop 8 was struck down, or more specifically, that the Supreme Court threw out the appellate stuff and left in place a district court ruling striking it down. That is not correct as a matter of law. What the Supreme Court said is that the plaintiffs in this case challenged, they sued the state, and that means that the governor and the attorney general have to defend. The California governor and AG violated their oaths of office and said, we will not defend our state constitution, defending marriage as one man and one woman. That was litigated before Judge Vaughn Walker, a U.S. district judge, and he held that it is unconstitutional, that Prop 8 is unconstitutional. At that point, when again the state refused to defend it, they also refused to appeal it. At that point, the defenders of the case, the official sponsors of Prop 8, who had
those
litigated
that helped
for it,
pass it.
That's correct. That's correct. Who were involved in the lower court lawsuit, so they litigated it. They filed the notice of appeal, took this up to the Ninth Circuit Federal Appeals Court, then to the Supreme Court. What the Supreme Court held today is you cannot do that, that the federal courts do not have jurisdiction to allow outside third parties to come in and file notice of appeals to step into what the state court
said. So bottom line is that the governor, the attorney general in the state of California refused to live by their constitutional oath of upholding the Constitution, the actual Constitution in the state of California. Therefore, no one was there to defend it, and outside parties were not allowed.
That's correct. Now, the Supreme Court therefore said, we have no jurisdiction, so we're getting rid of the case. The Ninth Circuit Appeals Court had no jurisdiction, so we're vacating. We are striking down their order, which spoke about a constitutional right to gay marriage. Now, that did leave in place Vaughn Walker's opinion. However, the California state constitution specifies that if a matter is enacted as law, either through the legislature or through the referendum process, and of course, Prop 8 was a ballot proposition, that all state agencies must regard it as constitutional until an appeals court tells them it's unconstitutional. Vaughn Walker is not an appeals judge, so there is no appellate opinion on the books now. Since the Supreme Court got rid of the Ninth Circuit, there is no appeals court opinion right now saying that Prop 8 is unconstitutional, so it is still on the books, valid law in California as of this moment.
So where does that stand then when there is a conflict between a federal district judge, which that's what Vaughn Walker was, and a state constitution here saying that this is still valid until it is overturned by an appeals court?
Well, the federal court does have the power to trump state law, including the state constitution. However, you still have the state constitutional provision, so anyone who is adversely affected in California right now would have standing to file a California lawsuit saying, to my understanding of the law, this is still on the books. Now, maybe at the end of the day, maybe California courts would agree and strike it down. But the reality is that's what courts are for. I think we're looking at new litigation, possibly months or even years of new litigation.
So you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Ken Klukowski, an attorney here at the Family Research Council, who was in the Supreme Court as they handed down this decision. So it's been hard to hear what's actually taken place through all the celebration that's been going on by those trying to redefine marriage. But here's the bottom line. Out of California, Prop 8, the court did not say that that was unconstitutional. They simply said those who were there defending it had no standing, and they sent it back.
That's right. The U.S. Supreme Court said nothing to suggest that Prop 8 was unconstitutional. And in fact, switching over to the DOMA decision, That's the one encouraging part of the DOMA decision, is that, which was a 5-4 decision, which we can unpack, but to jump ahead to just a part of that, Justice Kennedy, writing the 5-4 decision against DOMA, went on for 7 pages talking about how states do have legitimate interest in defining marriage for the purposes of their own states. In what is sure to be follow-up legislation, we can very much hope and pray that Justice Kennedy stays true to what he said. And even if he is saying that the federal government cannot make laws defining marriage, mm-hmm. that nonetheless he will respect we the people. He will respect what the voters do at the state level in terms of defining marriage as one man and one woman.
Folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. I'm joined by Ken Klukowski. And you're hearing something here that you've probably not heard on other media sources. And there's a reason for that. There is a line that the media, Hollywood, the prevailing elite culture wants you to believe that this is inevitable, that the court in a sweeping decision today paved the way for same-sex marriage. They did not. Now, I'm not going to candy coat this. This was not a good day for marriage, but all is not lost. Now, Ken, let me be very clear on this. Ted Olson and David Boyce went to the Supreme Court to seek that court to impose a redefinition of natural marriage on the nation. They did not get that. They did not come to Washington to see the court punt on this issue. They did not get what they want. They failed in what they were trying to get.
That's exactly right. They did not come all the way to the Supreme Court to have the Supreme Court say that they didn't have jurisdiction to decide the case. They were looking to have a broad national ruling. They wanted the court to declare that the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution has an invisible, previously never before seen right to redefine marriage, for any group of people to marry anyone they consent to marry, which, as we've said here before, would not just be same-sex marriage. There's no way you limit that to two people. If marriage is whatever adults consent to enter into, if they say, I love this person, I want to marry them, where do you get the number two there? If you can let any two people get married, then you can let any three people get married. All of those doors would have been opened
right.
if they had gotten what they wanted. They did not get that from
this
court. Well,
that's a very good point, Ken, because I even heard as I was doing media this morning, and David Boyce was on the steps of the Supreme Court talking about this. He said, you know, this has secured for Americans a fundamental right to marry whom you love, that you can marry the persons you love. And he used the plural there, the persons, because, I mean, if any couple can get married, I mean, why not truples? I mean, why not three people? Why not four people? There are actually those clamoring for that right now.
There certainly are. And the reality is the only reasons that are brought up, they say, well, we know that historically polygamy can be used to victimize women. We know that children might be abused in a polygamous setting. Okay, what about three men who want to get married? There's no woman to get abused in that relationship. And, of course, in terms of natural procreation, there won't be any children either.
If you follow this line of reasoning that you should be able to marry whomever you love, then how do you draw the line at two persons?
Well, that's exactly right. As a matter of constitutional law, there would be no way to draw it. It could be one man with multiple women. It could be one woman with multiple men. It could be multiple men with multiple women, or it could be multiple people all of one sex. If we open the door to this, if, as you said, it's just a person can marry whomever they say they love, well, there's no number in that definition.
Right.
It's you can say, I love two people, and we all want to marry each other.
We'll hear more from Ken a little later in the show. In the meantime, you can find more information about these Supreme Court decisions when you go to TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with more Washington Watch Weekly right after this.
How long will it take to change America? Well, set aside 5 minutes on June 30th and find out. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. There's no challenge in America too big for God. And based on the last few weeks of disappointments, that's a comforting thought. Whether it's the Boy Scouts losing their moral bearings or the Pentagon putting faith in the crosshairs, Christians everywhere should feel a new urgency to pray for America. On Sunday, June the 30th, that's exactly what FRC is asking churches to do as a part of Call to Fall. There's nothing fancy about it. All we're asking is for churches to set aside time to get on their faces before the Lord and repent. It's a simple but powerful commitment to join together for a second Chronicles 7:14 moment. If my people, God says, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven. Check out Call to Fall. That's call, the number 2, fall.com. America's in need of spiritual healing, and that healing starts with us.
Welcome back to Washington Watch Weekly. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Representative Joe Pitts of Pennsylvania to talk about his reaction to the Supreme Court's decisions. Here's Tony as he gives us a little background.
As we talk about the importance of marriage and family and moms and dads and children having those moms and dads, that at some point in time our culture will awake out of its moral slumber and say, yeah, we get it. But if not, we still have to remain true to that truth and testify to it. And I'm grateful that there are those, not only here at the Family Research Council, that's what we do, but there are those on Capitol Hill that are not backing away. They're not yielding to the political correct forces of our day. And one of those is joining me now. He is a defender of faith, family, and freedom. He represents the 16th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. He is also the chairman of the House Values Action Team. And last week, he organized a group of House members to make floor speeches about the importance of fatherhood. And joining me is Congressman Joe Pitts. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Joe, let me first just get your response to the Supreme Court.
Well, I'm deeply disappointed. I couldn't disagree more with the Supreme Court decision. You know, Congress was well within its rights to define marriage as it has been construed for thousands of years for federal purposes, and DOMA did not dictate to the states. Now the Supreme Court wants to dictate to the American people what the elected representatives of the people have done and what they can do regarding federal law. The people of California voted in a fair and free referendum to protect traditional marriage twice, and their rights were compromised when state officials abdicated their responsibility to represent the people. You know, I think a shame on President Obama for instructing Attorney General Holder not to defend DOMA. Shame on Jerry Brown for not letting the state's attorney general defend Proposition 8. These are abdication of constitutional responsibility.
Let me ask you about that, because what if, let's go back a few years, let's say George Bush was president, and let's say he refused to enforce laws that provided for abortion or abortion funding. And simply said, no, I don't like that. I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong. I think it violates the Constitution, and I'm not going to do it.
Well, they'd have been all over him for sure. You know, we had, however, a president in Bush who believed in upholding the law and upholding the Constitution and not appointing judicial activists to the courts. He believed that the people act through the democratic process. And that's what was done when we passed DOMA in Congress. It was before my time, but they defined marriage between one man and one woman. And now this their decision has been invalidated by the court. And I think they got it wrong in both cases.
Congressman, let me ask you about this, because it was talking about DOMA, and I'm going to have Ken Kukowski joining me in a moment. We're going to kind of break that decision down a little bit more. But DOMA does two things. It, for the purposes of the federal government, it defines marriage as union of man and woman. That's what was attacked today. There's another portion of it that prevents one state from imposing its definition of marriage on another state. And the fact that Congress controls the purse strings, and that's really what was at issue here, is whether or not a state can redefine marriage and then demand Congress provide certain benefits or tax exemptions to a same-sex couple. So that's what the court kind of, in their opinion, decided today, that you can't do that. If the state redefines marriage, then the federal government has to recognize it. However, there may be an opportunity here for Congress for solely federal purposes to define marriage as the union of one man and woman, one woman. Is that something that, I know it's early, but have you and your colleagues discussed that at all?
Well, the Ways and Means Committee now, which is rewriting the tax code, are looking at that issue. They haven't told us what their recommendation is going to be, but Some of them are saying, well, we've got to redefine marriage in our tax code, otherwise we'll be held unconstitutional. You know, when they talk about marriage penalty and benefits for same-sex couples. So this really, you know, complicates a lot of things. And the decision affects federal law, but as far as applying to the states, you know, marriage continues to be a state-by-state decision.
Right. Let me, this is the last question. I know you've got to go, but let me ask you this one last question, because last week you did organize a special order, a series of short speeches on the House floor regarding fatherhood. To move down this path of where, as Justice Kennedy said, there's no rational basis for the Congress to define marriage as a union of a man and a woman, meaning there's no basis in policy to say that kids need a mom and a dad. To buy into that argument is to buy into the reality that we'll have to expand government, because there's no way that we can have a stable society if we are moving away from the norm, the natural norm of a mom and a dad raising kids.
No question about it. You know, there are lots of studies that, and highly respected journals and studies that suggest that there's a real impact on children, that changing the form of families can affect children, and you have all kinds of negative consequences when you don't have, for instance, a stable, loving family of a mom and a dad raising a kid. And so the cost of our social service network and welfare programs are going to be greatly impacted by this negative consequence of a social experiment that is less in age than the iPhone. This is the leftist redefinition, you know, that's happening here on our watch.
Yeah, a good point. I mean, this, when you look at 5,000 years of human history, these 5 or 6 years in which we are living and this redefinition is taking place, it's simply a sliver. And it's the height of arrogance, I think, to believe that we know better than nature and all of human history, not to mention God's word as well.
Absolutely.
Congressman, as always, appreciate your insights and thoughts on this and your leadership on Capitol Hill on faith, family, and freedom.
Thank you, and thank you for all you're doing.
We thank Congressman Joe Pitts for his courage in standing up for marriage and the importance of a mother and a father. You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch Weekly, and we'll be back right after this.
On October the 11th through the 13th, join fellow Americans who want to get our country back on the right course. Come to Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C., and stand for faith, family, and freedom. Mike Huckabee, Senator Rand Paul, Rick Santorum, Star Parker, congressional members are already confirmed. Invited speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Alan West, Governor Jan Brewer, Bobby Jindal, and Scott Walker. Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, Representatives Eric Cantor, Michelle Bachmann, and more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, protection of life and marriage, government spending, and national security. Register today for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This October, stand with others who are committed to taking back our country. Go to valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins continues his discussion about the Defense of Marriage Act and the recent Supreme Court decision with FRC's own Ken Klukowski.
Ken, I want to turn now to the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. I made reference to this a few moments ago in talking with Congressman Pitts, that Kennedy, who wrote the opinion for the majority, as I understand it, in that he's basically said that Congress had no rational basis for defining marriage, other than, I mean, he alluded to animus, That there was no reason why we would want to define marriage this way.
That's right. And even before we get to that, something that should disturb all Americans who care about limited government and the rule of law is that the court today, by claiming jurisdiction in this case, the court threw out 200 years of precedent. It has always been the case from the founding of the Constitution that Article 3 of the Constitution doesn't allow federal courts to just say whatever they want to say. They have to decide cases, proper cases that are brought before them. Mm-hmm. One of the elements of that is adversity, meaning the plaintiff is suing the defendant, and both the plaintiff and the defendant are trying to win the case. In this case, the plaintiff sued saying Section 3 of DOMA is unconstitutional. And the Justice Department, which defends federal law, filed a brief saying, we agree, DOMA is unconstitutional, you should strike it down. It was a 5-4 decision to say that the court even had jurisdiction here. The dissent got it right, where they said that should have been the end of this matter right away, that a court should have said, my goodness, both sides are on the same side. We don't have both sides trying to win, so it's beyond our role under the U.S. Constitution to even touch this. Mm-hmm. Instead, you brought in this outside group, which the Constitution does not allow to step into the shoes of the Justice Department.
It's amazing how they refused to allow that to occur in the Prop 8 case. But then they allowed it to stand in the DOMA case and then struck it down.
That's right, because you had a much stronger argument for California.
Yeah, because there were actually people involved in passing it.
That's exactly right. And under California state law, official proponents do have an official status mm-hmm. to defend it in court. It would have been easy for the Supreme Court to say this wouldn't fly for federal law, but since it is a protected property type interest that you have under California law, we will respect that and allow that to go forward. For them to do it instead in the reverse, I think points to how egregiously wrong that part of the decision was. Having gotten the jurisdictional questions wrong, the court then goes on to get the merits questions, I say with all due respect, equally as wrong.
Does this set up further challenges to marriage in this country, some direct attacks possibly on DOMA and state constitutional amendments defining marriage? What's the time frame?
Well, that'll happen on a number of different fronts. There are already lawsuits that are at various places in the pipeline right now challenging Section 2 of DOMA. That's the federalism provision. Mm-hmm. Whether the Supreme Court or the higher courts in general will allow those cases to now just inject into it this new reasoning from the Supreme Court and allow those cases to just piggyback onto it kind of where they're at, that could take those issues up rather quickly. If instead the court figures that whatever arguments you were going to make, you had to lay them out at the outset. You can't, you know, change the rules midstream here. If we're talking about new lawsuits being filed, then I think we could be talking 2, 3, 5 years before it could get to the Supreme Court again.
One thing's for certain, this battle is far from over.
That's absolutely correct. Tens of millions of people are not going to accept the pronouncement of this court or any court, hundreds of millions of people for that matter, to tell them which of their beliefs are legitimate and what they're allowed to think regarding an institution which is so intensely personal to every single person.
That's a really good point, because the court can say in the eyes of government, same-sex marriage, that you have a legal right to same-sex marriage. They can say that.
That's right.
But they can't declare that you have a moral right to same-sex marriage. I mean, they can declare it legal, but they can't declare it right.
The state can, for civil purposes, define what marital relationships it's going to recognize and what benefits they're going to confer. But in terms of what the purposes of marriage laws are, these are simply laws that reflect – in the age we're in, Tony, it's all about whatever makes me feel
right.
Personally satisfied.
But even with that, I mean, I go to Romans chapter 2. I'll skip over 1 for right now and go to chapter 2, where Paul talks about how it is written on the hearts of men, even those that did not have the law, obey the law, whether it's excusing them or accusing them. And I believe marriage is just like the issue of murder. You know, it's written on the hearts of men everywhere, in all times, in all places, it's wrong. Marriage has been seen throughout history as the union of a man and a woman. Has it ever been distorted? It has. Polygamy is distorted. Other things, multiple marriages. But at its core, that is inscribed on the hearts of men. And a Supreme Court decision cannot erase that.
A Supreme Court decision cannot change the biological reality. And I think that the fact that we have these laws, these civil laws, they're not religious laws, these secular laws, it arises from just the natural understanding from the biological reality that whenever you have a child, that child has one biological father, one biological mother, and there's just an understanding that there's a binding together to create a stable environment for the raising right. and the nurturing of that child.
And the evidence,
that reality hasn't been changed.
And the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, that's not just you and I just talking about that, saying, oh, yeah, there's a marriage between a man and a woman is best for a kid. We've got 40 years of solid social science, actually more than that now, about 50 years of social science research that says overwhelmingly children do best with a married mom and dad. And in fact, that's what our Marriage and Religion Research Institute here at FRC, headed up by Dr. Pat Fagan, we take the government's own data and we crunch it, and we show not only do they do better when they grow up with a mom and dad, but they do better when they're exposed on a regular basis to religious participation. Two factors that were under direct assault in this decision by this court.
And it's important to note that those studies don't even focus on same-sex issues. That looks at every possible combination of family,
right.
single parents, and we applaud single mothers, especially
right.
raising kids. But we applaud every parent who takes on the added burden
right.
and the children who succeed in that. But that's right. As a matter of law, we should be able to encourage the institution that gives children the best shot,
right.
the
that's,
best
I mean, that's what we do in public
and
policy.
That's their father and mother bound together
and to
with
say,
obligations.
To say the court, for the court to say Congress had no rational basis for that is, I can only say it's ignorance.
It is deeply disappointing.
Yeah.
And with all due respect to the court, it is profoundly disappointing and even more than a little troubling to say that a supermajority of Congress, not just Republicans, but a majority of both Republicans and Democrats, and a Democratic president, Bill Clinton, to say that they had no rational thought in
right.
their head
it
when
is.
They wrote the Defense of Marriage Act. I think the court owes its co-equal branches of Congress and the presidency more respect
right.
than to say they just didn't know what they were doing.
King Kulkowski, thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate your insights on this.
Thanks for having me.
We hope that you'll help Family Research Council continue to fight for faith, family, and freedom here in Washington, D.C. You can find links to help you do just that when you visit tonyperkins.com. And for more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, you can reach us by phone at 866-372-1212. Or you can partner with us online at tonyperkins.com. Washington Watch Weekly is sponsored by the Family Research Council.